Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Nadine. Let me get our faces up here. Okay. Whenever you're ready,
okay. All right. Hi, I'm Nadine. I'm a grateful member of this fellowship. And Shauna, thank you for asking me to do this today. I truly feel humbled to share my story. I'm already crying. I don't know where to begin, but all I know is that I pray that my higher power, who is God, gives me the words to share and uses me as a vessel to help somebody else, because I know the importance of service. I came to this program maybe in March of last year. Every time I look at Anthony, I think of when I started this program, because I think we started around the same time. I could be wrong. And this is not my first 12-step program that I have been involved with, but it's the hardest one I've ever worked. I might as well start at the beginning. I'm 66. Was born and raised in Massachusetts, and I'm the oldest of eight. I have seven younger brothers, and I come from an intact family. I have the same, all of us have the same father, the same mother, which is unusual these days. And I have seven younger brothers. My youngest brother is 20 years younger than me. My mother stayed home most of our lives, and I was raised in a house with excessive drinking, with compulsive overeating, extreme religiosity. And for my generation, there was definitely a double standard. So the boys got to do what boys could do. And the expectation for me was to stay home and to cook and to clean. Never got good at cooking. My father was working two, three jobs at the time. And my mother depended on me far too much ever since I was a little girl. And I felt like I was involved in her marriage, told things that I should never have known, and had responsibilities that no kid should have had. So anyway, so I was very, very parentified. And my parents had five of us in 5 years. And I'm very close to all of my brothers today. I love them dearly. They're the funniest people on the face of the earth. And when we're together, we have a ball. I'm of Cape Verdean descent. If you don't know what that is, look it up, because I'm tired of explaining that. And lived in Massachusetts, still have my accent. And I was raised with all kinds of dysfunction. My grandfather was a sexual abuse predator, and he had a ball with his kids and his grandkids, and violated many of us. And I was in church every time the doors were open. I was raised, that's one of my brothers now. I was raised Pentecostal, born again Christian, and in church every time the doors open. Of course, my phone's ringing and it never does at this time. So I learned to be a very nice girl. And my goal was to be perfect, to be invisible, and not to cause any more chaos or confusion in the home. And my brothers were running the streets. They were drinking as teenagers. They were committing crimes and did everything under the sun. My father used to tell me, used to say to me, you know, come with me to the police station to bail this one out, bail that one out. And my mother refused to do anything like that. She always said she couldn't. So I developed this, you know, being the oldest, I developed this tough exterior and I learned how to be strong, even though I didn't want to be, learned how to be very controlling, very bossy, and it's still in my nature today. And I have to work hard not to try to control everything. So anyway, you know, through the years, I too ate compulsively, gained a tremendous amount of weight. That was the only thing that I could do that was socially acceptable as a female. And the church wouldn't say anything about that. I couldn't drink, I couldn't drug, I couldn't smoke, you know, I couldn't swear. And I gained a lot of weight. And I don't know how I found the OA program in my 20s, but I did find that program and I started working that program. And I left my home when I was about 28 years old, feeling like the youngest brother was safe enough at home. He was old enough to take care of himself. And I got a job with the state of Massachusetts, and my job was in Child Protective Services. And it was like breathing air for me because I was so used to protecting those boys from the excessive drinking that my father was doing. And so I started that program. I got my own apartment. I had a good job. And I lost about 150 pounds over the years. And so when I got cute, I started to date. And I switched addictions. I went from compulsive overeating to codependent relationships. One day I said to myself, what's the common denominator here, Nadine? I kept finding myself in these hurtful, harmful relationships. I was always getting hurt. And I said to myself, what's the common denominator? I said, it's you. You're the common denominator. So somebody told me about this Al-Anon program. So I started that program to learn about what I was doing wrong in my relationships. So that's, I started Al-Anon in 1982 and have never left and have worked these programs consistently. And in Al-Anon, I have done 8 fourth step inventories, and things didn't seem to, something just wasn't right. You know, I felt like I had a higher power. I had to define a new higher power for me, because the higher power I was raised with was laying in the cup for me. I knew I was going to hell on the Concord, okay? Because there's no way in hell I could have ever met the requirements of the church. You know, I had all the deadly sins. I had the pride. I had the gluttony. And the minister, I'll never forget the minister telling us one day, because most of us were fat, that this woman had, who was obese, went to bed one night and prayed at her bedside for God to take her weight off. And the next morning she woke up and her pajamas fell to the floor. And so I prayed that prayer. Never did this man say that I would be responsible to do some legwork. Never. So, you know, I was raised with this magical thinking about prayer and God and all this stuff. And so I prayed that same prayer. Never worked for me. I was waiting for my pajamas to fall off too. They never fell off. Anyway, and God bless him. You know, he had a good heart, but the guy was just nuts. And so I had to define a new higher power. And my sponsor in the program said to me, I want you to write a list of all the things you need for this higher power to be. And over the years, that relationship has changed. At this time in my life, I have kept it simple, and my higher power is a power that can only love, period. I need to keep it simple. He doesn't require, and mine's a he doesn't require for me to be perfect. He doesn't get angry with me. He's very patient, so he can only love. And I know that the higher power that I have in my life wants nothing but the best for me. I truly believe that. The issue has always been is me getting in the way of wanting what's best for me. I remember a woman, a sponsor, saying to me, you need to pray and ask your higher power to take you out of your own way, because a big problem for me has been self-sabotage. Another problem has been denial. I've had to ask my higher power to remove the denial. Let me have the insight necessary to see what I need to work on. And I've had serious denial in my life and serious self-sabotage. But anyway, so I've always worked this program. All these years in Al-Anon and OA, I met a man in AA, and couldn't stand this man for anything, and ended up having a relationship with him, ended up loving this man with all my heart. And he was sober in program, and I was, he was in AA and I was in Al-Anon. And I ended up conceiving twins after I was told that I could never have children. And it seems like I've always done everything late in life. I moved out of the house late. I had kids late. I had my twins when I was 33. And after having all those brothers, I was so excited when my daughter came first, and then I had a son. And my their father picked up the drink after I learned that I had conceived. I made one of the hardest decisions ever in my life. I decided, he proposed marriage, and I said no, because he had picked up the drink. And it was one of the hardest conversations I ever had to have with my father, because I had sex out of marriage, you see, and I was raised in church. But I knew I couldn't raise my kids with active alcoholism. And he never, ever obtained any kind of sobriety ever again, long enough for us to be together again. And he died from alcohol poisoning, unfortunately. But that was a wonderful man with wonderful gifts. I don't know if I'll ever love anybody like that again. I then, so I had my twins, went on about my business. It wasn't easy. I raised them alone. And I left my job. And when I was, they were about four, I decided it was time for me to, I quit my job to be home with my kids. And I decided I was never going into social work again. I wasn't going to protect anybody from abuse and neglect any ever again. And I came to Connecticut to go to school because now I'm going to go to school to learn how to be a manager of a 4- and 5-star hotel. I had it all planned out. And like they say, if you want to make God laugh, tell him what your plans are. Finished that program, came here with my babies, crazy. If I had, I know now when you're young, you're nuts and you take risks that I wouldn't take today. But I knew as long as I had program, I wouldn't be alone and I'd be okay. So I came here, I did this program. For some reason, I took the state exam and the state of Connecticut called me and offered me a job protecting kids from abuse and neglect again. And I took that job because it paid to support me and the kids. The insurance was good and all that. And that's how I ended up staying in Connecticut. And 30 years later, here I am in Connecticut. So I have the twins. Time goes on. I stay in program. And it wasn't easy raising them alone, but I did it. And I knew I could one day at a time as long as I stayed in program. But my grandson was born. He's 14 now. And at the time of my grandson's birth, my daughter's bipolar kicked in. And I ended up taking the custody of this kid where I could tell you stories. And he's been in my care and custody for most of his life. And how I got here was this kid, July of 20, attempted to take his life. And I remember sitting in the chair and I said, I quit. I blame me. It had to be me. I was doing something wrong in Al-Anon. I still couldn't get the full effects of the Al-Anon program after doing everything that I thought, everything right, so I thought. And I said, I quit. And I slipped into a depression like never before because I've never loved anybody like I love this grandchild. And never did I know for 1 second. I wasn't doing anything wrong in those programs, the programs I was in. I was not praying wrong. I didn't do my 4 steps wrong. I did not know that I am addicted to negative thinking and that I'm a sadic. So I put myself in a PHP program, partial hospitalization. I did therapy every day and I completed that, but something was missing. So I came home from that and I said, let me look up spirituality and depression. And this group came up. That's how I found DA. And I was shocked to learn that I'm addicted to saddening thoughts. I never knew. I didn't have the insight. I guess I was in denial. And I've been here less than a year. And like I said, I've never worked so hard in my life. I did not know that I had like an addiction, a compulsion to have thoughts of self-pity. Unbelievable. I was not grateful on a regular basis. So I've had to learn in these rooms with the help of you guys how to use some different tools. I'm grateful for the groundwork that was laid in both OA and Al-Anon, but I need, and God knew that I was ready now to work this program. I need to be here every day, and I need to do some things consistently with the help of all of you, I know now that I need to have a gratitude list every single day. I need to come to meetings on a regular basis because I'm thoroughly convinced that meetings are my medication. I don't know how this stuff works, okay? Just like I didn't know how OA worked, how Al-Anon worked. All I knew is that if I kept coming, I kept getting better. So I know that by being here, that's what's happening to me. I would overanalyze anything. Part of that was due to my professional position. You know, I was making decisions that were, it was life and death for some of those little kids that I was dealing with. And I would overanalyze everything. I would drive me crazy with my own thinking. So that's one of the things that's been healed in this room. I'm working with a group of ladies. On Tuesdays, we meet. I love those ladies. I'm vulnerable with them, and I'm getting to know them. We're doing the steps. I never worked with ladies before. I have often said to my brothers who have been married and single, you know, my brother said to me, I have to learn how to be single. And I said to him, you know, Craig, I have to learn how to let people in. I have a problem with letting people in too close. I had a messenger in my life called my mother who would tell me horrible things. You know, nobody's ever going to want you. And the criticisms are unbelievable. That's part of her disease. The lying is part of her disease. I've come to realize that depression, one of the symptoms of depression is lying, and it wants me to believe those lies so I'm not connected with me, I'm not connected to my higher power, and I don't connect to any of you. I have to ask my higher power to stop those lies. I did not know that I could be addicted to negative thinking. I had no insight into that. So I'm here every time that I can be. I am committed to working these steps. And I made a decision not to go back to work until I am healed and in some areas so I can be comfortable in my own skin. And when I reach that point, home and comfortable in my own skin, then I will venture out, because I'll use work, I'll use anything to distract me from my feelings. So sometimes being home alone is nothing but a monster. I'll use that word because sometimes I like to say bad words. My time is up. I hope that made sense to somebody. I will always be grateful for you that keep coming time after time. Sometimes I sit here and I think, look at these intelligent people. I find that we're highly intelligent, super sensitive, caring, loving people with honesty that I've never seen in my life, courage I've never seen in my life, and consistency. I know that this is where I find God with skin on, and I wish to God I could have every single one of you in my home and we could have a party together. You're the best people on the face of the earth, and I have nothing but the utmost respect for you, because I know this is not easy and this is hard work. And I thank you all for your shares, especially when you don't want to, and showing up time after time after time. It's not easy, but it's well worth it. Thank you for letting me share. And I love every single one of you. Some of you I don't like, but I still love you. Thank you. I'm going to mute now.